Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 30. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, 10. Jeremiah 16, 17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16, 17. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33, 12. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 14, 34. And now would you open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. Out of the many privileges we have in life, one of those great privileges is to do what we're going to be doing in the next few moments, and that is focusing our attention upon the eternal Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have before us today emphases in relationship to our nation. First is Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then in the second session today, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Those are the two verses that we're emphasizing in these two sessions today. Psalm 33:12, which I trust you'll go to that passage, look at it. In the next sessions, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Before we begin our study, may we pray together, please. Father, we are indeed grateful today for the privilege which is ours to have the freedom to be in this auditorium, to open our hearts and minds to the impartation of the Word of God. We're thankful that you have blessed us. We're the recipients of your blessings. We're the recipients of your grace in every area of life. And we bow to express our deep thanks today for the fact that you have given to us so many wonderful blessings throughout our lifetime. We are privileged to be here today. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for everlasting life. We're thankful for the logistical blessings of life. We're thankful for our loved ones and our friends, our church family. We bow to express our thanks today for the wonderful way that you've blessed us. And we thank you over and over again for being with us. Bless, we pray, these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like for you to look very carefully at the verse 12 of chapter 33 of Psalms. I want you to see four major words. The first word is the word blessed. The second word is the word nation. The third word is the word God. The fourth word is the word Lord. You cannot find anything more wonderful than what you find in Psalm 33:12. Blessed. We'll look at that word more in detail in a few moments, but blessed, nation, God, the Lord. Most of us have memorized 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The Lord Jesus Christ warned the people of his day regarding their hard and unrepentant hearts in Matthew 21:43. I would encourage you to write somewhere in your Bible or on a sheet of paper, Matthew 21:43. Jesus Christ warned the people of his day regarding their hard and unrepentant hearts. Could it be that in our day, our Lord is giving a warning to us? Does there need to be a great gleaning to gather the groom, the spiritual qualities inherent in our stability as a client nation? God has richly blessed America, but where do we stand today when so much is being done to discredit Christians and Christian principles? It would be good for us today to spend some time looking back and even studying the lives of some who lived at the very beginning of our nation. Check some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and other prominent individuals in those early days and analyze their thoughts and comprehend their most inner desires and values. I realize that this is somewhat different, but I want you to see that Nelson Price has given us information relative to many things that happened at the beginning of our nation. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration, 27 had degrees from seminaries. I'm going to go slow enough for you to think with me a little bit about some of these statements. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration, 27 had degrees from seminaries. Reverend John Witherspoon oversaw the printing of the Bible by Congress in 1782. Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress, was responsible for the first translation of the Bible in America and published what we know as the Thompson Bible. Benjamin Rush founded the first Bible society in America, which was called the Philadelphia Bible Society. The signers of the Declaration of Independence were responsible for starting 121 societies in 8 years. Francis Hawkins was responsible for printing the first hymn book in America. John Adams and Benjamin Rush sat next to each other during the drafting of the Declaration, in which those 56 men proposed to overthrow the most powerful nation on earth. Rush leaned over and asked Adams, "John, do you think we can really win this conflict?" Adams replied, "Yes, if we repent of our sins and rely on God." Rush later said he wrote that in his diary, "So he could teach others it was possible to be godly and in politics, that those two were not incompatible. I thought that was an interesting statement. John Adams, who was one of those who signed the Declaration and the peace treaty with England, wrote a letter in 1813 in which he said, "The principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the principles of Christianity. I will now avow that I did believe and now believe that those principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the general attributes and characteristics of God." That is what history from the period recorded before modern day revisionists with an agenda began to misrepresent. Primary sources from the day support the concept that our founding fathers' work was an outgrowth of their belief in God. Tomorrow is July 4. Some of the words of our founding fathers. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." Tomorrow is the 4th of July. The words of our founding fathers, George Washington, I repeat, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." John Adams, the second president of the United States, said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." It was Patrick Henry who said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was grounded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of all other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Noah Webster, in the Dictionary School Primers, said, "Let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for yourselves rulers, just men, who rule in the fear of God." I want you to see that we have an emphasis today on this verse of Scripture, Psalm 33:12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Many of you are aware of the fact that over the years we've emphasized the importance of being rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would be the recipients of God's great blessings. If you look on the back of your bulletin today, you will see that there's a translation there in relationship to Psalm 33:12 from the German. Let me read it to you. "Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen to an inheritance." I'd like for you to check very carefully what I'm emphasizing when I look at that German translation. I wanted you to be able to see that the first word that is translated here in the King James or whatever translation you may have says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Perhaps some of you already know this, but when you look at the words in the Old Testament, you will find the Hebrew word bless, and it is the Hebrew word barak, B-A-R-A-K. Or you can find it many times with the recipients of blessings, and it is the word baraka, B-E-R-A-K-H-A-H. But I'm also emphasizing today that in the New Testament, you'll find the scriptures related to the Beatitudes in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. And you'll find that it is the Greek word in the plural, makarioi. Makarios is in the singular. Makarioi is in the plural. It's M-A-K-A-R-I-O-I. And you'll read that, and it says happiness belongs to, blessings belongs to. You find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. I just have picked a few of these out to let you see that in Matthew 5, 3, happiness belongs, blessed are those who are related to the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. You'll find that all the way through in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Most of us are aware of the fact that God has a plan for mankind. And that plan for mankind is that we have great happiness. We understand, and we've seen this diagram, and you probably will be immediately able to see, even though you may not be able to read all of this, I can point out to you that this is an emphasis upon God's system for mankind. That system includes what we call the divine power sphere. It includes what we call the interlocking systems of love. It is what we call the love system. It is what we call the divine dynasphere. We've emphasized this many, many times, and I want you to be able to see that we have various steps or gates that relate to the love system. When you and I are properly related to Jesus Christ in right relationship to him by being cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, that means that we're living inside of this divine power sphere. That includes the filling of the Holy Spirit. I will not take time to go into all this in detail. It includes basic and personal love, having a relaxed mental attitude. It includes humility, which means enforced or organizational or genuine humility. It includes great four, which is perception and application to God's Word. Over the years, we've stopped many times at that gate four, and I want you to be able to see that you have the responsibility, and I have the responsibility, of being cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit. It is God's responsibility to us and our responsibility to him to obey what he wants us to do in having a right kind of action in impersonal love, a relaxed mental attitude. It is God's plan for us to understand some things about humility. That includes enforced humility, organizational humility, and genuine humility. Over the past years, I've emphasized this fourth step more than anything else, and that is that gate four is perception and application to the Word of God. You will discover that if that's right, then there's a right relationship to God, there's a right relationship to our companion, there's a right relationship to our friends, and then it ends up with gate eight, which is the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A, that is translated joy, but we also translate that happiness. So I want you to be able to see that we can look at it. Maybe you can see it better this way, the divine power sphere. We have there the various gates. Gate one, the power gate. Gate two, the objectivity gate. Gate three, an emphasis upon our relationship in proper being properly in humility. Gate four is our momentum gate, which is perception and application to the truth. Gate five is our relationship to God. Gate six is our relationship to our companion. And gate seven is our relationship to other individuals. And then you'll see at the top of the page the happiness of God. Please understand that when you come to the first word of our text for today, it is the word blessed, which means being the recipients of God's blessings. That means happiness. Happiness does not mean having a good time, necessarily. Happiness is having your priorities straight. Happiness is what you and I are actually thinking. I pause to let you think with me about what I'm saying here. Happiness does not mean just having a good time. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a good time, but our happiness does not depend upon us having a good time. Happiness is having our priorities straight. Happiness is what you and I think. And when you and I are thinking correctly, we're thinking correctly in relationship to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so happiness comes from our proper relationship to our Savior. I believe you cannot have a true scale of values in your life unless the Word of God has top priority. And I pause there and let you see what I'm emphasizing, because I've said this through the years and I continue to say it. You and I cannot have a true scale of values in our life unless the Word of God has top priority. Now, let's take that and move through these various points of decision. Happiness is God's system. Notice number one, in the cosmic system, a believer will never experience true happiness. If you'll notice in the diagram we gave you a few moments ago, there's an emphasis upon being inside of this divine power sphere, which simply means as a believer, we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're perceptive to God's Word, we're living our lives on a daily basis in proper relationship to our Savior, we find ourselves the recipient of happiness, joy, peace, contentment, no matter what we face in life. We can face disasters, we can face trouble, we can face temptation, we can face trials, we can face all kinds of things that bug us, and at the same time we can be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, living inside that divine power sphere. Many, many times I've said this, and I want you to hear it once again. You're inside that divine dynasphere. You're right with God. You're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan comes on the scene into your particular life with a temptation. Now, let me stop you there and let you see this for a moment. You're right with God. You're in the right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're cleansed of sin, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and here comes satanic temptation. You have a decision to make. While that temptation is not sin for you, you have a decision to make whether or not you're going to obey that temptation, accept that temptation, or reject that temptation. If you choose to reject that temptation, refuse that temptation, you remain in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're still in harmony. You're still filled with the Spirit. You're still properly related to Jesus Christ. But the decision is up to you and me. And when that temptation comes, if we choose at that moment to make the decision to accept that temptation from Satan, at that split second, we're moved outside of the divine power sphere, and we're under the sinful nature, our old sinful nature, and we're not properly related to Jesus Christ and not filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be able to see that in the cosmic system, a believer will never really, truly experience great happiness. Do I need to just close now with a prayer and let's go home? I'm trying to let you see something, because every person perhaps in this auditorium, you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been born into God's kingdom. And you understand that God is leaving you on this earth for a specific purpose. If it was not His design for you to still be here, you wouldn't be here. We're here because God wants us still on this earth. As a result of the fact that God is still allowing us to live, we're breathing, our heart's still ticking, we're moving through each day's activities. We must realize that every day we live is because God has determined to allow us another day. In the light of that, we have the responsibility of choosing to live inside of the divine power sphere. It is God's plan for us to have His joy, His peace, His happiness, and be blessed entirely. Blessed is the nation. We could say, and you could put your name right there where it says nation. Blessed is, and you put your name there. Emphasizing the fact that happiness belongs to those who are properly related to Jesus Christ. In the cosmic system, when people get out of harmony, in that cosmic system, they will never experience true happiness. I pause again and let you think about that. If you choose to be under the control of your sinful nature, you mark it down. You're not going to be the recipient of true happiness. Well, I could spend some more time there, but let's go to number two. Each gate, each step in this divine dynasphere that I've shown you today produces a certain degree of happiness. If you're wondering why you're not happy, even though right now you're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, give thought to this. Each one of these steps around those eight great gates, each one of those produces a degree of happiness. If there's not a proper relationship with God, of course, there will not be a proper relationship in your happiness. If there's not a proper relationship with a companion, if God allows you to have one, then if you're not right with your companion, there's going to be a limiting of the amount of happiness. If you have friends that you're not in harmony with and things are bugging you in relationship to them and them with you, you can just put it down that you will not have the proper degree of happiness. I've never really said this before, but I think it's now important for me to remind you that each one of these steps is extremely important. Perception and application to God's plan. A right relationship with God. A right relationship with a companion. A right relationship to friends. Understanding that God desires for us to have happiness. Blessed. Happiness belongs to those who are right related to Him. Number three. When virtue is manufactured in the believer's soul, a byproduct of happiness will occur. Are you able to see what we mean here? Virtue is a proper relationship. When virtue is manufactured in the believer's soul, a byproduct of happiness will occur. Let's move quite rapidly to point four. Virtue and happiness go together. Virtue and happiness go together. Number five. Residing inside God's system produces the foundation of happiness regardless of circumstances. I want to spend a few moments here to let you see. Some of you on this Sunday before the 4th of July may find yourself somewhat depressed. You may find yourself out of harmony with someone or your companion. You may be having difficulty in life. You may be having various burdens and trials and tests, maybe even illness. residing inside God's system produces the foundation of happiness regardless of the circumstances. In other words, many times we find ourselves under pressure. We find ourselves ill. We find ourselves with trials and temptations. We find ourselves in all kinds of frustrating experiences in life. In the light of all of that, we must understand that we have to pull ourselves out of that situation and see it from a divine vertical viewpoint and be properly related to God no matter what the circumstances are. Residing inside God's system, point five, produces the foundation of happiness regardless of the circumstances. I think I just need to stop and let you have about 5 minutes of silence to think about your own circumstances. Residing inside of God's system produces the foundation of happiness regardless of the circumstances. Number six, degrees of happiness will be manifested in the believer's life when reaching each one of these steps. What I would encourage you to do, and we probably need to have this again as an insert, for you to be able to take home these 8 steps so that you can understand that degrees of happiness will be manifested in your life in relationship to reaching each one of these 8 points. Now, let me quickly tell you, God's plan for us is happiness. Let's look at this for a few moments. God's plan is our happiness. The first thing that I would remind you of is we're to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. I would encourage you to put these points down. Very, very, very important. God's plan, man's happiness. There must be recognition of Jesus Christ as the source of life. I don't know, as I look over this congregation today, I'm not sure about each individual because this is between you and God. I'm not sure where you are. Do you recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life? Do you recognize Jesus Christ as a source of the blessings for you every single day? When you get up every morning, do you understand that God has given you another day? And you're still breathing, you're still alive, and God has a purpose and a plan for your still being here. Recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. Number two, view life from a divine perspective. View life from a vertical viewpoint, from a divine perspective. Are we able to see our daily activities in the light of God's plan? It seems like the older I get, Joyce and I talk about this all the time, we're able to see how God so wonderfully guides and blesses us day by day. We're seeing various experiences that happen to us that just proves to us that we're at a certain place at a certain time, and we didn't plan specifically that particular event. Of course not. And things happen, and it's just unique to see how all this takes place. Well, should I give any illustrations? Should I give you testimonies? Oftentimes I could do that, but I try not to get ourselves involved in telling you some of the wonderful experiences we have in life. But I can tell you this, since you're so anxious to hear it. As you know, years ago, I had the difficulty of shingles, and shingles covered my face on the right-hand side. So you remember that. And it did some damage to my right eye. And I'm thankful that I'm able to see with the left eye. And if you ever get around me on the right-hand side, I'll probably bump into you because I don't see from that side. But anyway, I go to the eye doctor. And I'm always concerned about whether or not the eye drops have done the proper thing in relationship to the eye pressure. And the last time I went, not this time, but the last time, my eye pressure was not proper at all. And so there was a change of eye drops. And so this time I was wondering what was going to happen. And they always put this thing up for you to see. And I have to tell you that in this right eye, when I cover that left eye and I'm looking at that chart, first of all, I don't even see the chart. Then I begin to see, and I drop my eye down, and I look up, and then it comes up for just a few seconds, and then the letters disappear. Did y'all want to know this much about this illustration? But anyway, yesterday, or the day before, when I went to the eye doctor, instead of the pressure being in the 20s and whatever, the eye pressure in the bad eye was 14, and the good eye was 11. That's the best I think I've ever had it. Now, that's not the story. The story is that when we got out of the car and started toward the front of the hospital, we saw an elderly lady with a walker. And I want you to know, she was walking fast. It looked like she was alone. And we became very concerned about her because I just hated to see, Joyce and I hated to see a lady there alone, that old, walking with a walker. Not with a stick, walking stick, what do you call it? A cane. It was one of these canes that had some kind of foot on it. But anyway, she was going fast, and I wanted to be sure we stayed out of her way because she wasn't putting her brakes on. She was going. And we got to the elevator, and so we got on the elevator and went up, and lo and behold, the same place we were going, there she came. And we discovered that she did have someone with her, but they're kind of separated. I don't know why. They just didn't walk together. And she got up and she walked in front of us, and I handed her a coin. And she took that coin and she stopped and looked at it. And then a little while she got sitting in her sitting position, and she was still looking at it. And she'd look at the other side. And she was trying to spell the word. She was from Japan. And she was 93 or 4 years of age. And I don't need to tell you the whole story, but it was wonderful because she was concerned about knowing what that thing said. Where will you spend eternity? And then John 3:16 on the other side. And after a while, she went in and we went in to our doctor, and then we came back out, and in a little bit she came back out. Well, she fell in love with Joyce, I could tell. And, well, I guess she fell in love with me too, I don't know. But anyway, she opened up her purse, and she got out some kind of a little can. And she opened that can up, and it had some individually wrapped candy. And she wanted us to have some. She gave us a candy. On the outside of that individually wrapped candy was a picture of two cows. And then there was a word in Japanese. And we said to her, cow. And she said, milk. So she was translating the word that was on there. After a while, she said to Joyce, would you give me your address? I want to correspond with you. Now, here's a lady, 93, 94 years of age, and we had not had any idea that we would have this kind of experience. And who knows what the Lord will do with that particular divine appointment. All I'm saying there is to tell you that God desires to give you and me over and over again divine appointments. Be alert. Be aware. Do something, hand out a tract or hand out a coin, do something to let people know that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. View life from a divine perspective. And I want to tell you that the longer we live, the more Joyce and I are able to see how fantastic that is. We look forward to each day, no matter where we are, what we're doing, just to see how God puts things together. We could give you a lot of other illustrations, but we'll not do that. View life from a divine perspective. Number 3, relate everything to the Lord. Now that may sound simple, but it's really profound. Relate everything to the Lord. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, wherever you're going, relate that to the Lord. And then number 4, realize that difficulty, suffering, is a necessary part of Christian advance. When you and I face some difficulties along the way, just put it down. God's working things together for your good and His glory. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Realize that difficulty or suffering or both is a necessary part of Christian advance. Look at number 5, maintain always an attitude of gratitude. I tell you what, grateful people are happy people. Do you realize that? Be thankful. Be thankful on a day-by-day basis. Be thankful to God. Be thankful to your companion. Be thankful to your friends. Be thankful. Always be thankful. A thankful heart is a blessing. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. Number 6, embrace His principles and utilize biblical concepts and biblical subjects, doctrines. Embrace His principles. Utilize biblical concepts and biblical doctrines. We could spend more time there, but let's move along. Number 7. Depend upon the integrity of God. Always depend. If you want to be happy, this scripture says, blessed happiness belongs to the individuals whose God is the Lord. And depend upon the integrity of God. Number 8. Remember that this earth is not a real home. Remember that this earth is not a real home. Now, some of you young people don't even think about dying, but I'm aware of the fact that you need to occasionally just be aware of the fact that you're going to be here 80, 90 years, 100 years, 60 years, 50 years. We don't know. But just remember that this earth is not your real home. Number 9, be aware of daily grace victories. Be aware, be alert, be sensitive to the fact of how God blesses and His grace blessings are continually pouring down upon you and me. And then number 10 in the last one, look at all things in the light of eternity. Look at all things in the light of eternity. Would you do me a favor? Let's go back to that verse at the very beginning. I think I can find it here. You'll notice it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I don't see where I put it, but that's all right. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. We come to the close of our service today so thankful that God has blessed us in this nation and that we're the recipients of His love and care on a day-by-day basis. Let me say in closing today, for those who may hear this voice and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this could be the greatest 4th of July weekend you've ever had in life if you'll come to know personally Jesus Christ is your Savior. God loves you so much. He was willing to give His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, to be buried, to come forth out of that grave, triumphant over sin and grave and death and hell, to go to the Heavenly Father and sit by His right hand to make intercession for us. I want you to know today that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will accept you as His child. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. How wonderful it is to know that God does love us, and that Christ is willing to save to those who will accept Him. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. There's no other way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We give these verses over and over again, but why do we do it? Because they're such powerful verses. Jesus is the way of salvation. I would encourage you to trust Him now. Father, thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.